I'd like you to please turn to Ephesians 3, the little letter of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to share with you a little there, and then we'll dismiss the children for their children's church. But let me take you here into this third chapter and start to read in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, people call this piece of scripture a benediction, and it is. But we need to understand it has terrific impact for us. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, we ask that as we consider this precious word of yours, it may have light and bring liberty to the whole heart of men and women in this congregation. We ask that you will grow us to the point where we can understand some of the height and the length, and the depth of your great salvation. Will you bless everyone here and cause us to attend your word carefully that we may understand you? And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Now, boys and girls, if you're going to the youth church, go now, please. One of the interesting things that happens in prayer is that we often don't understand what we're doing, and it's a shame, because there's no need for us not to know what God is doing in our lives. And I want you to turn your attention, please, to the Apostle John as he talks in his gospel, and I would like to share with you some words that he writes in the 15th chapter and the 16th verse, where he says in that verse, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now turn the page, please, to the 16th chapter where we were, and let me take you into verse 25. And in the 25th verse, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, Jesus is teaching us about prayer. And he is saying that we have to understand there's no need to pray and ask him. Now, the veil of the temple has been split in two. It was rent in two. We went through this a week or two back, from the top to the bottom, and the Holy of Holies was revealed. Now, God will deal with us directly. Jesus will mediate on our behalf, but God will listen to our prayers and answer directly. That's pretty marvelous. When you think that God created the end of the earth, God created all the stars, the moon, and so on. And he's so concerned with you and I. Listen to this concern. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Jesus, in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn this world, but rather he sent him into this world to save this world. And we need to understand God's friendship. And I want to share this with you. God has become our friend through the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so when we pray, we can pray, "Our Father who lives in heaven, holy and reverenced," or "hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven." We can pray such a prayer. And we need to understand that we speak directly with God. Now, what happens when we speak directly with God? Well, in 1940, the British nation, where I was growing up, was in a terrible fix. The Nazis were on the coast of France, and 21 miles away was England. 21. That's all. And the Germans were already mobilized and ready to come to England. But there was a man, one man, that we know about. I'm sure there were others, but this one man, and his name was Rhys Howells. He was a Welshman from South Wales. And he, you can read this in a book called Rhys Howells' Intercessor. And he asked God to stop the invasion. Now you have to understand what had taken place. There was a thing called Dunkirk. Called Dunkirk because it's a small town, or it used to be a small town, on the coast of France. And the British and all that was left of the French that were fighting were at Dunkirk. And the Germans had surrounded them, and on the other side was the English Channel. To escape, they left 85% of all their weapons on the beach and in the sea. They had no guns. They had nothing to fight with. They discarded most of their heavy uniforms and swam for the little boats. And there was a whole flotilla of boats that came out and went all the way around the east coast of England and down the English Channel to pick up these people. If a boat was 12 feet long, it was out there sailing to rescue soldiers. Wasn't that amazing? And they rescued about a third of the people of the British Expeditionary Force and Frenchmen. That's an amazing thing. Rhys Howells in Wales was praying, "Now, Lord, don't let the invasion happen." And all the German army with all its might was along the French coast. And now because these soldiers have been shunted off into the sea and were picked up by these little boats, there was nothing to stop them coming. Not one thing. We didn't have a gun to shoot. That's desperation. And if you're a soldier with no gun to shoot, that's a terrible position to be in. just awful. But that was the position. And Rhys Howells was on his knees. He prayed morning, noon, and night. And for days he spent time in prayer, praying that the invasion would not happen. Now the historians tell us that Hitler was somewhat crazy. And he said, you can't invade England. That's that part of the story. But the rest of the story is Rhys Howells prayed. I remember, because I was a little chap, that just about all of England was stuffed into churches and they were all praying similar things. Deliver us from the power of the enemy. The Battle of Britain didn't happen until later on in 1940, in September, when 650 aeroplanes against the German 2,500 aeroplanes and more won. And England was not invaded. Interesting, isn't it? But one man was praying, Rhys Howells. Now, can that happen today? I don't know. Here's another story that I want to remind you of. Here is a young woman. She is very, very happily married. In the day in which she lived, her husband was allowed more than one wife, and he had a second wife, and this second wife kept on having children. But this woman had no child of her own, and nobody understands the tearing and the awkwardness that a girl or young woman feels when her child is not there and it doesn't get born. Some of you young ladies have your babies easily and quickly, but there's always someone, it seems, that they cannot get everything right at the right time, and the baby doesn't come, and the baby doesn't come. And then there are people, very thoughtless people, who in a congregation like a church like this, who will make snide remarks. What's wrong? Why don't you have a child? We have a darling young couple from a previous church who have not yet been able to have a child. Many miscarriages, but not a child. And the grief that they feel and the agony inside them is enormous. I was standing with them one day not long ago, and this lady, who is a rather thoughtless woman, came up and said, you going to have any children yet? You've been married 5-6 years. And the hurt in the eyes of the young lady, the young wife, was colossal. And the husband sort of pushed himself in front of his wife and faced this woman straight down. He said, in God's time. I was at his business a few weeks back just to visit, and on the bulletin board there was a sign, there was scribbled in ink, pray that we have a baby. Well, this girl didn't have a baby. Her second in command type wife relation did. She had 3 or 4 babies, and still this young woman did not have a baby. And she went into the temple and she was praying in the temple. And as she was praying, she was sobbing. The word in the Hebrew is she was sobbing greatly. And as she sobbed, why, the priest was standing at the back of the sanctuary, and he thought she had to be drunk. And so he came forward and he said, you know, you shouldn't do this. You've been in here days after days after days, and you sit in that pew and you sob and you sob and you open, you're saying something, but I can't hear the words and I don't know what you're doing. You should not drink so much. And she said, I don't drink. I'm here praying. Oh, the thoughtlessness. Her name is Hannah. And she made her prayer this way. She said, Lord, if you will give me a child, make it a boy child, I will give that child to you. And this is where and why we dedicate our children to the Lord Jesus. We say, thank you, Lord, that you have given us this child. We borrow the child for its life, but we give it back to you. You know, this is a very delicate and interesting place to go, because when you say, this child is not mine, it's yours, Lord, the Lord may just take that life. Renee and I went through that experience, but it didn't go that we lost the child. She's still alive. But we went through a desperate time at that moment, and so did Hannah. And a few months later, she knew that she was going to have a child. She was excited. The child was born. It was a boy. And she said, I've asked God for this child. This is God's child. I asked for this child. So I call him Samuel. The woman was Hannah, the mother of Samuel the prophet. And she took the child when he was weaned, and she took him into the temple, and she said to Eli the priest, this is what I was praying for. This is the result of my praying. And I want you to know, I prayed to God and asked God for this child. He is yours to train as a minister, as a prophet. He's yours. Isn't that wonderful? Young women with baby boys, could you do that? Yet in our hearts, we have to. We have to. I want to tell you about when you pray to God, what God does. Here are three Hebrews, and the king at the time, he decided to make this colossal gold image. And when the music was playing, whether it was the youth band or the old band, we don't know. Maybe it was a mixture of the two. But when they played all these instruments, the stringed instruments, the wind instruments, and the drums, got to have drums. And when all those things were being played, everybody was to bow down to this great monstrous image and worship. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego refused. Now, the law was, because the people were very jealous of the Jewish people at that time, that if they didn't bow, they were to be cast into a fiery furnace, which was hotter than anything. It was so hot, it was seven times hotter than normal. It was so hot that strong soldiers that took them and chucked them into this furnace died from the heat. Now, all their clothes and headgear is on them. They're tied so they can't move. I remember my father putting a mouse in the furnace in our house because he didn't like mice. And that poor thing was treading on the hot coals very fast. It's like James over this side of the congregation putting those frogs inside a blender. How fast can a frog run or jump in a blender? Ask James, he knows. And it's incredible what frogs do when they're in danger. But this poor mouse, although I watched it, it was dropped into the furnace, and the poor thing was trying to run and beat the coals to death or do something, get himself cooled off, but he was soon cremated. These three men were tied so that their hands were down to their sides, and they were tied from the neck all the way down to their feet, and they were tied up, and they were taken and thrown into the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They're in the furnace. And the king is upset that these people dared to disobey him. But he looks into the furnace and he says to the people around him, didn't we put three in that furnace? Oh, yeah. All three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are in the furnace. But he said, look, there's another, and it looks like the Son of God, and they're all walking around free. Excuse me. The impact is this. When he said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will you worship this image? They said, no. We will serve the living God. We don't want to know this image. We don't want to know idols. We will not back off. And whether God lets us die, we die. But if we don't die, we will still give him praise and honor and glory, and our God lives. And they're walking around in a furnace. Now, some commentators say this was a spirit that was with them. Others say that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what your experience is, but some of you go through experiences that are fierce. And the heat is enormous. Was it Mr. Truman that said, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen? The heat gets enormous. And we don't know what to do with ourselves, and we don't know how to cope with whatever it is that's going on in our lives that is so fierce. This last weekend, I was with this dear brother in the Lord who I told you about when the floods came to Warrington and Hammond and Astoria just earlier this year. They served in 2 days 4,500 meals. The Red Cross down the road was serving chili, and they were serving salmon. They worked, and they started work at 5 in the morning. And they finished working about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And the men and the women, they had every barbecue they could grab and find. And they were cooking food and serving it to people who were in desperate need. And then Ed Buzzard went out, and he got all sorts of furniture for these people that whose furniture was rotten and been wrecked, and he organized groups going in and houses and clean the houses out. There was no HUD, there was no help from the local people because they were all organized, and Ed is not an organized man. There's a need, let's fix it. There's another need, fix that as well. Hey, brother, go over here and do that. Hey, sister, go somewhere else and do something different. And so prayers were answered. It said to me, I just wept in prayer. Well, there's a big plaque that was given to the church by the city, and it's signed with fancy names. I said, when did you get that, Ed? He said, I didn't have anything to do with that. He said, I sent the men to get that. They did all the work. I wasn't involved. I was behind the scenes. What a humble man. So his name isn't on it. The church's name is on it. And that's all. Here is God answers prayer. These three fellows in the furnace had prayed. And they had said, it doesn't matter if you kill us, Lord, or we live. We're in the furnace. And it doesn't matter. It's okay with us that we're in the furnace. How many of us in this congregation think that way? I had a great deal of difficulty accepting the fact that I would never walk as I used to walk. Then the things, different things kaleidoscoped upon me. They came upon me like a ton of bricks, and it was like a lot of dominoes all falling down. I can't walk up a mountain again. I can't go walking in the forest again. All of those things started piling up, and gradually I realized what it is and what it was. It was a fierceness. There was a fierce furnace-like thing There was a burning in my heart to do things that I couldn't do and I used to. We come to those places. What's your experience? But I've got to tell you another story. Because this chap was at a different time than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just a few years later. And there was a great big image built. Oh, it was a massive image. And King Darius agreed to this, and he said, I want everybody, when they hear music throughout the land, they're to bow and worship this idol. And again, it was jealousy. Again, it was because people wanted to get at the person that was in full view. His name was Daniel. And you've all heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But Daniel went into the lion's den because he refused to do what man wanted him to do. He refused to disregard God. And he said, it's okay. You've made a law that's a hopeless law and a rotten law. And the king spent all the rest of the day and all of the night trying to get it out of this terrible mess that he'd put himself in sending Daniel to the lion's den. But Daniel was already in the lion's den by the evening of that day. And he prayed. And the lion's mouths were shut. Have you ever wondered why it is that somebody or something that's been threatening you, and it seems as if it's going to jump into you, and it seems as if it's going to tear you apart, and it seems as if all your life has been totally wasted because you're ending up in a lion's den of some sort? Have you ever stopped and thought, who stopped the mouth? My enemy, says the psalmist, he says, my enemy would slay me. He would eat me. He would destroy me. He would cast me out as nothing. But we find that God has a way of hearing the prayer of the man, the woman, who is in a desperate situation and cries out and says, Lord, will you please help me in this desperation? And immediately God the Father hears that cry. Now listen to Jesus in this 16th chapter of John, and he says in the 23rd verse, he says, I want you to understand, no more are you going to be praying to me and asking me for favors, asking me to be helpful, asking me to heal, asking me to raise the dead. No longer. Now you must ask the Father. I will not ask the Father on your behalf. So we come to a place where we have to understand that God is saying to us, talk to me. Why was the temple in the place it was with the great big veil and it was rent from top to bottom? Why was that veil rent? So that God could expose himself to man and could show man that his holiness was so beautiful and so great and his presence so enormous that all we have to do is fall before him and say, Lord, my desperation is much, but I love you. I trust you. And we are to do this, says the scripture, in the name of Jesus. One last story and I'm through. The Apostle Paul, in the 28th chapter of Acts, was in a pickle. He'd been arrested because he loved the Lord Jesus. Again, he would not serve the gods of Mammon. He would not do what the people said he should do. He did the things that God said he must do, and he did it. So even some of his friends were enormously critical of him. But he took a ship as a prisoner and was sent off toward Rome. But they got as far as Malta. And at Malta, in a small island just away from Malta, the ship wrecked. 14 days. Have you ever been on a boat when you've been seasick for 14 days? I've never been seasick. I've not been on a boat for 14 days either. But it's pretty rotten to be seasick, I'm told. And everybody on the boat was seasick and they didn't eat for 14 days. At the end of 14 days, Paul calls all the people, the soldiers. There's 276 people here. He calls the soldiers, the sailors, and all the prisoners together. He said, listen, God has revealed to me, if you stay in the ship, you won't drown. Now, here's this storm been going for 14 days. What do you mean, stay in the ship? And the wind was behind them. And they could see this small island just picking out amongst the clouds and all the rain and so on. And so the sailors said, let's put up the topsail, the topsail. And they did. And the wind filled the sail and drove the boat onto the beach. But before they actually got as far as the beach, they hit a reef and smashed the boat. And all the water, the waves from behind, just kept smashing the boat. After they had eaten, after they had drunk, Paul says, you need some food to strengthen you because you're going to have to swim to the land. And you're going to have to stand on that new land. They went onto the land and they found they were in this place. What a place. God cried, Paul cried out to God and said, God, help us. Everybody stayed in the boat and they were all saved. Is our God bigger than a storm? What have you been going through? Have you been going through a storm? Did some Christian do a deal with you and change the rules as they went through? Did somebody cheat you in some manner or another way? If you thought about it, you could turn bitter. Hold back. Just hold back. And realize that the storm is controlled by God. When Jesus was in the boat and the boat was being filled with water and it looked as if they were all going to perish, and the disciples eventually woke Jesus up and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus stood and he said to the wind, peace, and to the water, be still. And there was a great calm. Then the disciples got all worked up. What manner of man is this that he can say to the wind, shh, and to the waves, be quiet. Who is he? He is the Son of God. He is Lord of all. When you pray, you may pray straight to God. The God that created the wind and the waves, the God that created the ends of the earth, the God that created all things, there is no need to be all worked up about global warming. It's in the hands of the Lord. What are we going to do? Put the fires out? Well, if you live in Christmas Valley, and we do, the fires haven't started yet. It's been so jolly cold and miserable. Someone met me the other day and he said, oh, I've just been down in San Diego. And I thought, you have? Was it warm? 90 degrees, he said. Friend phoned me from Sacramento. He said, it's 94 degrees here. That morning, on our thing that tells us the temperature, it was 15. And I said, boy, God is calling me to California. I've been there, done that. But isn't it interesting? God holds the whole thing in his hand. We are puny if we think we can change those sort of things. We are faithless if we think we can change those sort of things. We are foolish if we think we're going to change the temperature of this world. No matter what sort of science tells us we might. I must stop But I must remind you that the Lord Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father, he will do it. Do you cry out? Listen to the psalmist. I've shared this with you many, many times. Listen to the psalmist. He says, hear my prayers. Oh God, hear my prayers. And let my cry come unto thee. What's a cry? It's an audible thing that goes on in the mind and heart, and most likely only says, oh. But the Holy Spirit takes that and interprets it and places it before the throne of grace, and it becomes a deep, deep prayer. Are you praying? Are you praying? I don't mean the sort of prayers that some people pray, like at the grace that I learned at a camp, on us and these thy blessing please, amen, which my daughter got down to, and us and these the blessing please, amen. And I couldn't understand it. What did you say? On us and these thy blessing please. Oh, I don't mean, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. My brother and I used to pray that prayer every night, and his friend was staying with us and went running home the next day. And he said, I don't want to stay there again. They think you're going to die in the middle of the night. I mean, is there an agony inside of you that cries out and says, oh God, my burden is too much. My life is too complicated. The theme of everything I get involved in is wrong. Here, listen to these words. Come and worship the Lord your God. He will cleanse you. He will hold you. He will keep you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for reminding us of truths we know. And thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies, and all that we have that you have given to us. Will you bless now this congregation with your grace? For we ask it in your name. Amen. Let's sing together.